Good afternoon and welcome to the conference call of Hypoport Bank AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Günther Fehmers, the moderator of this conference.
Thank you. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to our investor conference call on our first quarter results. We will first walk you through the presentation, which I hope you all have been able to download from our website. I have to apologize, the full Q1 report will be available hopefully shortly, later this afternoon, latest tomorrow, I was told. I will share this presentation with my colleague, Tom Fischler. After the presentation, we will have the usual Q&A session. HSH North Bank has had a good start into 2011 and did not deviate from the positive trend already witnessed in 2010. Despite the substantial expenses for public sector guarantees, which cost 112 million euro in Q1 alone, we can today report an after-tax profit for the consolidated group under IFRS of 126 million euros. The first quarter 2011 is the fourth quarter in a row for which the bank is reporting a positive result before restructuring cost. It is the third quarter in a row with an after-tax profit. In comparison to the negative first quarter 2010 of minus 276 million after tax, this is a remarkable swing of over 400 million euro. In light of the much improved environment, we have begun to return public sector aid by reducing the second loss guarantee by 1 billion in the first quarter. Based on this good start in 2011, we continue to believe that the full year result should come in above last year's result. Let's now take a deeper look into the result figures. On page two, net interest income commission dropped 20% over a year ago, which is roughly in line with the corresponding downsizing of our balance sheet, which came down from 173 in Q1 2010 to now 139 billion. This cannot be seen on this table because here we compare Q1 with the end of 2011, 151 billion. We continue to benefit from a visible economic rebound in our core markets, which led again to substantial reversals of loan loss provisions, plus 76 million, whereas last year, first quarter was a net addition to loan loss reserves of minus 455 million. In shipping in particular, we were able to reverse portfolio impairments due to continuing improvements in parts of the shipping market. The result before restructuring improved from minus 120 million last year to plus 243 million this year, a substantial jump of 413 million euro, which is mainly due to the earlier mentioned lower risk provisioning need. Q1 Group net after-tax income is with 126 million, substantially above Q1 last year, and even above the 48 million for the full year 2010. Total assets dropped by 12 billion in Q1, whereby the lower US dollar exchange rate contributed 5 billion to this decline. Core bank activities amount to 81 billion and restructuring unit activities to 58 billion, adding up to a total balance sheet of now 139. Risk-weighted assets came down 4 billion to now 37. In addition to the reduced balance sheet total, improved risk parameters and currency effects also contributed to this reduction. Our core capital for solvency purposes stays unchanged at 6.4 billion euro. The Tier 1 capital ratio increased to 17.2%, up from 15.4% at year-end. The reduction of the second loss guarantee of 1 billion in Q1, which one would normally expect to have a lowering effect on the Tier 1 ratio, was overcompensated by the balance sheet reduction and the improved risk parameters of the portfolio. Let's now turn to page three. Core bank and restructuring unit both contributed to the positive results of the bank. The segment assets of the core bank reduced from 88 to 81 billion, in the restructuring unit from 63 to 58 billion. The result before restructuring of the core bank was negatively impacted by valuation effects of the second loss guarantee and euro-dollar basis swaps, and I will address this in more detail in a couple of minutes. In the restructuring unit, the impressive swing in the result was mainly driven by a considerable improvement in risk provisioning. I would like to point out that this clearly shows that the asset quality of the restructuring unit now is improving in line with the economic rebound. On page four, you see the P&L table in more detail, and I would now like to address the main positions on the following slides. Page five. We did already mention the direct relation between the decrease in total assets and lower interest income. The net present value of the non-payment of coupons on silent participations and profit participations, in IFRS terminology, it is called the AG8 effect, amounted to minus 39 million in Q1, opposed to 37 million minus in the first quarter of last year. Net commission income is 10 million below the equivalent period last year because we only carefully started contracting new business with core clients. On the other hand, loan extensions have been contracted less in Q1 11, which were contributing strongly to the net commission income last year. On page six, let's start with the change in accounting. Starting 2011, we will show the currency effect on risk provisions, no longer in trading income, but rather in risk provisioning. This had been corrupting our trading income figures and has always been difficult to explain. Therefore, we have adjusted the net trading income figure of Q1 last year for an amount of plus 126 million up to a minus of 6 million euro. Because if you look up last year's Q1 report, the net trading income at that time was still at a minus 132 million. So we reversed that. Q1 2011 was negatively impacted by valuation changes in interest rate derivatives, in particular in euro-dollar basis swaps. Positive, however, were valuation gains in fair value adjustments. Net income from trading investments benefited most from positive valuations of the credit portfolio assets and other securities in the portfolio. And now on page seven, we are entering rough terrain, I might say. We probably need a four-wheel drive to plow through the information here because we are talking about the hedge effect of the second loss guarantee. So risk provisioning need is much reduced compared to the previous year. In Q1, we had a net reversal of 76 million euro, whereas last year we had a net addition of minus 455 million in Q1 2010. Let's now look at the individual segments. The sector bank, due to a pronounced improvement in shipping markets, saw a net reversal of plus 177 million. Thereof 144 on portfolio impairments, 32 on currency effects, and plus 1 million on single impairments. In the regional bank, we had a net addition of minus 29 million, basically single impairments in two individual cases. After net additions of minus 14 million in segment others and minus 105 in the consolidation column, we totaled a net reversal of 29 million for the core bank activities. In our restructuring unit, we had a net reversal, including consolidation, of plus 47 million, so that the consolidated group, we talk about a net reversal of loan loss provisions in Q1 2011 of 76 million euro. That's on the right part of the table, the green column. I would think it's necessary to explain the consolidation column a bit more detailed. And here we account for the financial hedge effect of the second loss guarantee. So in 2010, the accumulated loan loss provisions, i.e. the single impairments and portfolio impairments exceeded the 3.2 billion threshold of the first loss piece by 318 million euro. Thus, the second loss guarantee imposed a financial hedge effect on our balance sheet, but please note, not a drawdown of the guarantee. I.e., in the amount exceeding the first loss piece, the 318 million excess, compensational reversals of loan loss provisions were booked in the consolidation column to neutralize the P&L effect. Why? Because if the impairments would ever result in a final loss, then the guarantee would step in, and it would not become a drain on our P&L. In Q1 2011, we saw a net reversal of 151 million in loan loss provisions on the guaranteed portfolio. This led to a reduction of the hedge effect described above, i.e., we have to account for a minus 151 million charge to our P&L, which again, we booked in the consolidation column. Should in future further net reversals of loan loss reserves on the insured portfolio arise, what we all do expect, we will see further adjustments in the consolidation column up to an amount of some 160 million euro. Once we fall below the 3.2 billion euro threshold, any additional reversals of loan loss reserves will then lead to an extraordinary profit in our P&L. By booking the hedge effect in the consolidation column, we are showing a transparent view on the real risk provisioning needs per segment without any dilution from the second loss guarantee hedge effect. However, it's important to note, and I would like to stress this at this point, the up-to-date accumulated losses on the entire portfolio insured by the second loss guarantee amounts to roughly 170 million euro only. If there are still questions to this, don't be shy and ask them in our Q&A session after the presentation. On page eight, the administrative expenses are slightly up 10 million to 207 due to consultancy fees on projects and in operations, i.e., advisory on the valuation and sale of assets, et cetera. Staff numbers are down 43 to 3,345 full-time equivalents. Expenses for public sector guarantees could be reduced by 26% or 39 million euro from 151 million a year ago down to only 112 million in the first quarter of this year. Largest impact contributed the 1 billion euro reduction of the second loss piece that saved us 30 million. The expenses on the sovereign guarantees are down from 31 to 22. In May, we had a further reduction of 3 billion bonds, sovereign guaranteed bonds, which matured. The total outstanding now amount to 6 billion only, and those will be maturing as scheduled in January next year and July next year. Expenses on the second loss guarantee are down from 120 to 90 million. On page nine, the balance sheet reduction of 12 billion euro, but also improved risk parameters led to a further reduction of risk-weighted assets by another 4 billion, down to 37 billion euro only. With an unchanged core capital for solvency purposes of 6.4 billion, our Tier 1 capital ratio increased to 17.2%, despite the first reduction of our second loss guarantee by 1 billion in Q1. This 17.2% is highly competitive, even at an international comparison, and provides ample leeway to deal with upcoming changes coming along with Basel III. We will carefully continue to return tranches of the guarantee in small steps over the coming years, always keeping a close eye on the impact on our Tier 1 ratio. The regulatory capital ratio increased from 22.4 to 25.7%. And I would now like to hand over to Tom. He will walk you through the segments.
On page 11, let's first look at the segment Sector Specialist Bank, which comprises our shipping, aviation, and renewable energy business. The quite considerable recovery of the shipping markets in 2010 has continued, especially for the container ship markets, but all in all at a somewhat slower pace. For the bulker and tanker markets, the prospects are, due to high capacity and outstanding deliveries, not equally optimistic as they are for the container markets. The aviation industry had a good start into the year, but then was impacted by the political instability in parts of Middle East and Northern Africa. The nuclear disaster in Japan also contributed to the uncertainty. It needs to be seen whether this and the oil price increase will have a lasting effect on the industry. Renewable energy enjoys further tailwind from the political scene, with more and more countries questioning their current energy mix. Overall, expansion of new business has become central focus for us now. First transactions have been contracted already in Q1, and this at an increased margin level. Let's have a short look at the P&L figures. Interest and commission income has improved quite substantially from 120 last year to 140 million euros in the first quarter this year. The considerable improvement came from the reduced risk provisioning needs. Just like in the last quarter, we were able to reverse loan loss provisions, especially in the shipping business. The improved risk situation also shows itself by the fact that last quarter, for the first time since the start of the crisis, it was possible to reclassify a considerable amount of loans from the default rating categories back into the rating categories for normal performing loans. With plus 275 million, the result before restructuring was considerably higher than in the previous year first quarter, which was at minus 40 million. On the next page, you see the results of our regional bank, the segment that comprises our domestic corporate finance and real estate business, as well as our dealings with the savings banks and our private banking business. The improved economy, and particularly in Germany, gave a boost to the markets and industries in our regional bank focus. Increasing capital investment and working capital needs led to rising demand for financing and expansion of existing credit lines. Export-driven growth translates into increasing volumes in export and trade financings. The German real estate markets also benefit from the improved economy, which can be seen in new rental contracts for office and retail space. In the regional bank, the total income increased from 112 million up to 139 million euros. And this despite a decrease in the segment assets of 2 to now 21 billion. Risk provisioning could be reduced quite considerably, down to minus 29 million from minus 105 1 year earlier. And now to the restructuring unit on the next page. In line with its strategy, the restructuring unit was able to reduce its segment assets further by 5 billion. Largest contributor to this reduction was the loan portfolio, with a reduction of 4. The remaining loan book is now at a volume of 31 billion. The capital markets portfolio could be reduced by 1 billion to now a volume of 27 billion. Valuation gains in our credit investment portfolio contributed nicely to the net trading income and income from financial investments. As of end of March, the credit investment portfolio was at a volume of 11.1 billion, compared with the first quarter in last year, when it still was 5.5 billion higher at 16.6 billion. Total income was slightly higher than 1 year before, plus 189, compared with plus 176 million, and that despite a further reduction of the segment assets by 5 billion last quarter alone. But especially the reduced risk provisioning needs improved the results substantially. In Q1, risk provisions were reversed in a net amount of 47 million compared to minus 296 million 1 year before.
Let's now turn to the last page and have a look into the future. We expect market recovery in the major client segments to continue, albeit at a slower pace. and risk provisioning needs are expected to decrease further. As we said, we will increase new business with our core clients only. The sovereign guarantees have meanwhile reduced by 3 billion in May. Further reductions are scheduled within the next 12 to 15 months. The second loss guarantee has been reduced by 1 billion already. There are further reductions planned for this year and for the coming periods, but as I said, we will do it very carefully, always keeping a close eye on the impact on our Tier 1 ratio. The maximum reduction is 3 billion per annum. Consolidated group results on IFRS for the full year 2011 are expected to come in above the last year, 2010. However, dividend payments on the hybrid instruments and to the shareholders are not expected to resume before the end of 2012, i.e. in March 2013. We should then know whether 11 and 12 in combination under German GAAP accounts have been profitable enough to reverse all the haircuts, pay the cumulative coupons on those instruments where applicable, and pay the outstanding coupons due as per June 2013. Further reductions of the restructuring unit assets are a must. That's what we are working on. And last but not least, we all expect a positive EU Commission state aid ruling, hopefully before the summer break 2011. So this concludes the first part, the presentation, and I would now be happy to answer any questions which you might have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. I will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. So for any of your questions, please press star 1. Thank you. We got a question from Jackie Ineke from Morgan Stanley. May we have your question, please?
Hello, Gunther. I've got a few questions, but the first one I shall start with is on China Development Bank. I was just wondering if you could give us an update there. I know there was a release regarding joint financing of 500 million euros, but if you can tell us what's going on there, what the future holds. Thank you.
Yes. Well, China Development Bank is sort of a cooperation partner of ours. We started off late last year with a 500 million US dollar funding line of 5-year bullet structure, and we are currently in negotiations of two things: an extension of such a funding by, let's say, a second tranche, and at the same time we would like to enter into joint syndicate deals. So just to broaden and to deepen the, let's say, cooperation in funding China-sourced projects. That's probably the most I can tell right now.
Okay, thank you. Could I ask one more question and then I'll get back in the queue? You mentioned that the up-to-date accumulated losses on the second loss portfolio was 170 million. Can you explain exactly what you mean by that? Those are actual losses above the 3.2 billion, or if you can really explain
sure.
what you mean there, thanks.
Sure. It's probably best to illustrate it in a picture. You as an investor are sitting on the 11th floor of a high-rise building, and street level up to 10th floor is waterproof by the guarantee. And then there is three floors in the basement, parking garage and other facilities. And within the three basement floors, there's a puddle of 170 million losses only. So the lowest floor, so to say, is just barely filled with water, and you still have three floors to go up to the street level, and then there's a 10 floor guarantee. So in other words, 170 million have been recognized as final losses, which account first against the 3.2 billion first loss tranche. So we are far away from exhausting this first loss tranche, not to speak of ever reaching into the 10 billion second loss guarantee. Is that clear?
That's clear. Thanks very much. I'll join the queue again for more questions later. Thanks.
Next question we got is from Harlan Cherak from Vemo Capital. May we have your question, please?
Yes, good morning. Of the reduction in the portfolio from 151 to 139 billion in the quarter, how much of that was actual receivables that were set to mature, i.e. were just, you know, traditional portfolio receivables that were going to roll off as opposed to the currency adjustment?
Well, the currency adjustment was 5 billion, and the remainder was either scheduled maturities or, unscheduled maturities, sale of assets,
prepayment
maturities,
whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the second question is, with respect to the payment on the Tier 1 securities, can you just confirm under German GAAP accounting what is the cumulative net income required in order to make those payments in 2013?
Yeah. I think it all totals up to roughly 700 million euro, and that comprises of around 480 million for the reversal of the haircuts, another 40 or 50 million on accumulated coupons on instruments where cumulative coupons apply, and the remainder is 170 plus million for the coupons due in June 2013 based on 2012. So roffly 700 million have to be made up in the years 2011 and 12 under German GAAP accounts.
Great. That's very helpful. Thanks very much and congratulations.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mrs. Lineker, may we have your question?
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Gunter, I'm going to ask you about the consolidation number, that 105 million. I did try and follow you. I struggled. Could you just run through it again, exactly what makes up that 105 number on slide 7?
Yes. So what we have there, so the consolidation column, 105, comprises other subjects as well. But the main driver here is what I explained in the reversal of loan loss reserves, which exceeded the 3.2 billion. And now again, you have to look at single impairments plus portfolio impairments. And the addition of single impairments and portfolio impairments increased 3.2 billion. And portfolio impairments are basically nothing but reserves for future single impairments. And therefore, we said every portfolio impairment which exceeding the 3.2 billion is, so to say, something which we can net off against additions to single impairments once they accrue. And that's what we've done last year. So we added single impairments, and instead of charging that against P&L, we basically reversed portfolio impairments exceeding the 3.2 billion. Because if at any future point in time these single impairments would ever turn into final losses, then the amounts exceeding 3.2 billion would be guaranteed by the guarantors. So now in Q1 11, we have the situation that the total amount of loan loss reserves were reversing. And we are coming down from the excess over 3.2 billion nearer down to the 3.2 billion. So normally, any reversal of loan loss provisions would result into extraordinary profit for your P&L. But since we have already booked the positive effect of this excess provisioning above the 3.2 billion in last year result, we first have to basically account for this reversal in Q1 of this year, and that is the major contributor to the 105 consolidation column. So we basically leave it isolated in the consolidation column, and if you go into the details of our Q1 report, you will see how much loan loss provision additions or reversals have been accounted in the individual segments, and this balance sheet effect of the second loss guarantee hedge has been isolated in the consolidation column. So once the combination of single impairments and portfolio impairments by future reversals would in total fall below the 3.2 billion, then we have the, let's say, usual practice of every further reversal will result into an extraordinary profit for our P&L.
May I add one more thing? What might make it a little bit complicated to follow. We're always talking about a reversal of 151 million, and the consolidation you see on the chart is only 105. The reason for that is that the restructuring unit, of course, also has a consolidation column, and that's why you cannot find the 151 one-to-one on this chart. So if you then have the segment report published on the website, and you go into the annex and into the notes, and you'll see that the consolidation of the core bank has 105, and you will see that the restructuring unit has the rest of this 151.
Okay. I think I probably need to lock myself in a room with the accounts, don't you? And then I might come back to you. Thank you.
Maybe I can send you an illustration of it later on, so that will hopefully make it more transparent.
That would be great. Thank you. Thanks.
For further questions, please press star 1. Just a second. Okay, Ms. Seneca, your line is open up again.
Sorry, one last question. I have to ask it about the EC state aid decision. I understand we're hoping for it next month, June. Obviously, we're getting very close to June. Is there any update in terms of timing there? Do you have a strong view that it will come through next month, or may well it be pushed back to September? And the second thing linked to that is, any kind of feel you can give us for the demands, potential demands relating to your owner states bringing down their ownership to a minority stake and the time frame for that? Thank you.
Sure. Well, I might want to caution you. You mentioned June, but I would rather see July as the earliest date for EU decision, because the Commissioner Almunia talked about before the summer break, and I understand that the Brussels bureaucrats would probably go into summer vacation sometime around end July, early August. Anyways, we have no fixed commitment from the EU Commission as to when they will make up their minds. We carefully would target July, end of July, as, let's say, a first indication of the Commissioner. However, it will probably drag into September until the full Commission has all signed, sealed, delivered, whatever the paper will be. But hopefully in summer we know where the road is leading to. Now, you mentioned about the potential impositions. Well, let's put it this way. The driving thought of the EU Commission is to contain the taxpayers' impact of any future bankruptcies of a public sector-held bank. And initially the idea was this could be easily done by just reducing the public sector ownership of any bank to below 50%. Because if they then would run into troubles, the minority holder could basically drop the keys on the table and leave the bank up to the majority owner to deal with. And we have seen in prominent cases that it's probably difficult to sell an asset at a reasonable price with a gun at your head. And therefore, the Commission is now thinking of a different way to restrict or contain the taxpayers' risk, and that could be to further reduce the balance sheet of a public sector bank down to a level where the future impact of any, let's say, misfortune would be tolerable or less of a strain to the taxpayer. So between those points, the decision will probably be made. Either a firm date as per when the majority of the ownership should be dropped below 50%, or let's say containing the total balance sheet of the core bank at a certain level, not exceeding, I don't know, any amount for the foreseeable future. And this is what the EU Commission is currently evaluating, and they will probably make up their minds, hopefully, by summer.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So, Mr. C. Lund from Brigade Capital, may we have your question, please?
Yes, good morning. On the last conference call and slide presentation, you made reference to making change of ownership being a priority for the company right now. What are the main milestones we should be looking for as far as achieving a change of ownership? Is it the EU review that's coming up, or what are some big milestones we should be looking at?
Well, first of all, if the EU Commission would require such a change with a fixed date from the owners, then this is definitely a key driver of any such decision. But apart from that, I could imagine that the current owners would still have in mind the idea of what they had already at the time of the merger of the two banks back in 2003 to either IPO the bank or invite third-party investors to pay up the capital needed for future growth. So I think the idea of a change in ownership is not off the agenda, but it's probably something which would then be dealt with less stress timing-wise. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you. And then just shifting gears quickly, in terms of the stress test that's coming out this summer, we've seen something in the press about how the German banks will stack up, but could you give us any update on how you guys are thinking about the stress test in light of what's going to be coming out in the next month or so?
I think it's too early, I must say. I'm afraid I have no, let's say, internal data which I can share with you. We are still filling out the templates and providing all the necessary information, but I would hate to give you any advance information now, other than that we feel reasonably comfortable to pass a stress test, as we have done last year.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Here comes the Holland Jarek from Vermo Capital. May we have your question now?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on one of the comments that you made with respect to further reductions in the second loss guarantee. I think you had said some further reductions are planned for 2011. I was just wondering if you could provide us with some detail or some guidance with respect to how we should be thinking about that for the next three quarters of
sure.
Thanks.
Well, the guarantee contract language allows us to reduce the guarantee by a maximum of 3 billion per year starting in 2011. And we have taken a first step by reducing 1 billion in Q1. So in theory, there's another room for 2 billion reduction for the remainder of the year. Whether or not we will fully exhaust this 3 billion need to be seen. I'm quite optimistic that we will reduce another billion anytime soon. And we will then leave it up to the economic environment later in the year whether we will fully exhaust the 3 billion allowance later on. And same goes for next year and the year thereafter. So if everything runs smoothly, we could be down to 1 billion outstanding second loss guarantee early on in 2014. But there's no commitment on either part to go down that path that rapidly. It needs to be fine-tuned and carefully decided, because once we return the guarantee, we cannot take it out again. So we need to be sort of visionaries and see what the future economic development will bring in terms of impact on our risk-weighted assets, because every reduction in the second loss guarantee sooner or later will have a decreasing impact on our Tier 1 capital ratio, and we want to keep that at a competitive level.
Understood. I appreciate that clarity. And then on the comment with respect to the consolidated, you know, IFRS results for the full year relative to the full year 2010, I know we're now only one quarter through the year, but with 126 million euros versus your 48 million for the full year last year, how should we think about the balance sheet reduction from now to the end of the year to try and think about, you know, what your potential full year 2011 net income after taxes could look like?
Harlan, that's awfully difficult even for us to estimate, and I have full sympathy for you as an analyst that it's even more difficult to make any projections here. So I'd be rather careful. I can give you no guidance, frankly, on what the balance sheet total at the end of the year will look like and what the, let's say, year-end after-tax result will be. I think our CEO made a statement, which probably was easy to make, that the 2011 result should be above 2010. Based on the first quarter result, that's probably achievable, but I want to caution you not to just multiply the first quarter result by four and then have a number for the full year result. That's probably a bit too easy. I'm sorry, I can't be more precise on this one.
No, it's okay. I appreciate it anyway. Thanks.
Just a second, please. Mr. Roberto Enriquez from JP Morgan, may we have your question, please?
Yes, good afternoon. Just have a very quick question with regard to your Q1 results. So you've given us the color in terms of what happened on a consolidated group basis under IFRS. I would just like to know if you would have the corresponding number for HSH under German GAAP?
Unfortunately not. We do not have quarterly reports on the German GAAP accounts. There's only annual reports, and there's no number which I can look at if I want to see what the German GAAP accounts in first quarter looked like. Sorry.
Right. And just in terms of, you know, us being able to maybe reverse engineer the numbers, I mean, these movements in the reversal of risk provisioning, I mean, would that be something that would be doable under German GAAP or not?
In theory, yes. But in practice, under German GAAP, we have not yet reached the 3.2 billion. So we are still, let's say, 100 million or so away from reaching this threshold beyond which any further additions to loan loss reserves would be compensated by the guarantee. Or in other words, if we reverse the loan loss reserves, they would then immediately kick into extraordinary profits in our German GAAP P&L. So therefore, it's a process which I'd like to describe so that the German GAAP accounts are a bit more conservative than the IFRS accounts, and that leads into a somewhat slower gliding path into the negative numbers, but also a slower and more drawn-out gliding path out of the red ink. So it's just taking at least 1 year longer than IFRS to break even under German GAAP.
Right, okay. So that would obviously have implications for when you would be able to, for example, get to that 700 million number that you described in order to be able to, for example, start switching on the coupons associated with those hybrid capital instruments.
Yes. So the major contributor here is savings in our expenses for the public sector guarantees, which I described in the presentation, and number two, gradual reversals of loan loss reserves under German GAAP. And those two, plus the, let's say, normal operating profitability, net interest income, net provision income, so should, over the 2 years, 11 and 12, add up to an amount equivalent to the 700 needed to start paying the coupons.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
You're welcome.
seems to be no further question at this time. Otherwise, please press star 1. So far, there are no further questions.
Okay. Then I would like to thank you all for listening in and for your attendance. And feel free, if you have any questions, to give me a call. Otherwise, looking forward to meeting you again at the presentation of our half-year results. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We want to thank Mr. Fermes, Mr. Fischler, and all the participants of this conference. Thank you. Goodbye.